you know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold. 1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003. What you're about to hear is about more than just football. It's about life. This is Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Now, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Wipe the dust out your eyes. Gravedigger on his final show. What's up, Earl?
Listen, man, it's first off, welcome to Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger on the Earl Ingram Show. You know, listen, man, I don't understand what happens to time. I can't believe we've gone through the entire season, preseason, and now we're at the end of the football season. And it happened so quickly, man. You know, I remember just like yesterday watching the first preseason game, and I was saying to you, hey, man, the Packers got a lot of athletes. They've got a lot of great talent. Here it is, man, the Super Bowl is this coming Sunday. And I just wanted to spend some time with you, man. You played in two Super Bowls. You got a chance to see what only a handful of the greatest players who played a game ever get to experience. Kansas City and San Francisco are experiencing it right now. Tell us a little bit, man, about your travels as you got a chance to, man, it's Super Bowl week for you and the Packers, your first Super Bowl. Take us down that road, man. Memory lane, if you will, about what that was like.
Well, when you look at it, Earl, it's a eye-opening experience. Just number one, you don't just go down to the Super Bowl. You know, you know, it's 2 weeks. You got 2 weeks of preparation. You're going to spend a week in Green Bay or San Francisco, right, or Kansas City. And then the following week, you're going to spend in the host city of the Super Bowl, because you got to do media. You got to do preparation. You got to do family. You got to do a lot of stuff in 6 days and get your mind right for a game. So it's a lot of stuff you got to do in those 2 weeks, but it's crunch time that last week, because everything, if you ain't prepared for it, you better get prepared for it, because the train don't stop.
You know, Gilbert, I remember hearing players say everybody wants a ticket to the Super Bowl in your family. Cousins, third cousins, first grade school teacher. and I guess the player springs for those tickets, right? Not really.
I don't know how it changed over the years. I don't know if they cut it down to the allotment of tickets, but if at one time, I believe you could have got 30 tickets.
That you would have to pay for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you got it. They ain't gonna just, yeah, it's a cost to it, but you are allowed
each player
so many tickets. Yes, yes, and if you want to get all those tickets, you can. I don't know what the number is now. They probably cut it down from 30 some tickets, 32 tickets, or whatever it was. But you got to get those tickets, and then you got to disperse them to the people you love or whatever.
Right.
My first Super Bowl, I didn't let nobody come.
Not even your mom, man, as close as you were to your mom and your family, man?
Nobody. Only person I let come was Coach Robert Dozier.
Yeah, great man.
That was it.
Why?
Everybody else?
Why?
Because I was focused, man. I didn't want no distractions. I didn't want anything. I wanted to be focused on my first. Now, the second Super Bowl, thank God we were privileged to go back.
Right.
I let everybody come. Guess what happened?
You lost.
You know what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but let me. So you find out you're going to the, you just won a championship game. You're going to the Super Bowl.
NFC championship game.
From yes. that point forward, what happens to Gilbert's mind and as you walk towards making it to that game? What happens to you?
You know what? Everybody's in congratulation mode and everybody's happy to go and da-da-da-da-da. It don't start getting real till you get on the plane. That's when them butterflies start shooting you.
A week before the game,
you're getting on the plane. Because normally when you get on the plane, it's a business trip. It's not a have a good time trip.
Right.
Because you know we go down there, win the game, come home. But getting on this plane, then you start seeing the hoopla, and everybody's you know, you like in Green Bay. Oh my God. We getting on that small airport, big plane.
Right.
And you got to walk through the hallways and there's people on each side of the hallways cheering you. It was crazy, real crazy. So you have to understand that each day as you get closer, each day it gets more and more intense on what you got to do.
You know, how old were you at your first Super Bowl? About,
I don't know.
25, 26?
23, 24.
Wow. So you were very, very young.
Yeah.
But did it help that you had cats like Reggie White around?
Yes. Yes. It's veterans that keep everybody grounded, but some of them veterans have not been there before either. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So everybody was going through what we supposed to do, how we supposed to act in certain situations. And I mean, because at that time, you got to understand, at that time, I was one of those guys that was at the height of their career. So that was when the Gilbert Burger was going around.
Right.
So I had a couple of appearances in New Orleans at Burger King. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So you got to understand when the limelight is here and when it's time to get your butt to work. Because there's a lot of distractions that'll pull you away from the game. A lot of sponsors.
And I'm kind of sure that, what was the coach's name? I forgot his name.
Mike Holmgren.
Mike Holmgren wasn't tolerating no mess, right?
Oh, no. No, because he's been there. See, that's the thing when you got a head coach that's been there before, because he was with Frisco.
Right.
When Frisco was in their heyday, going to the Super Bowls and whooping up everybody
right.
and stuff like that. So he knows what to expect. That's what kept us grounded was Mike Holmgren.
Yeah. So Gilbert, you guys got this week, you're preparing Green Bay. And I was asking you before whether or not, you know, if you do a lot of hitting, you guys still hit back then, right?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. To a certain extent, we were still hitting. Yeah,
I'm kind of sure that probably was no hitting going on today in today's NFL.
Oh no, oh no, no.
They're not gonna run the risk of people getting hurt.
No, no, and then again, if you know how to practice and do certain things, then yeah, you won't get hurt. But I don't care what you do, offensive and defensive linemen are hitting every day. Period. We're hit that you cannot avoid contact as an offensive defensive lineman.
So Gilbert, so you made it to where did you guys play your Super Bowl?
New Orleans.
In New Orleans. So you get down to New Orleans. New Orleans is some of the folks say, you get down to New Orleans, it's all kind of action. Just, man, you know, French Quarter, everything going on down in New Orleans, and you got to focus on football.
You missing the whole part, all that good food.
Oh, yeah.
that's going to help me two-gap when I need two-gap. So I need all that good food in me.
Yeah, but they, you know, the team provides your meals.
Yeah, but it ain't like going to them Creole restaurants and all that good stuff.
Did they make those off limits?
They tried.
They can watch everybody.
They
tried, huh?
They can't hold your hand as you're walking down the street in New Orleans.
Yeah. So Gilbert, let's move up to the week before the game, the plane lands in New Orleans. Y'all worked and get in condition and all those things the week before. Everything is set. Now that plane finally lands, and here it is. You're in New Orleans, and what starts happening? Change of mindset already?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you got dudes hiding in bushes with cameras, man. You know what I'm saying? You can't go nowhere. You can't do nothing without a camera on you. As soon as you step outside your hotel room, media's on you. You know, and it's a lot of crazy things going on. And if you got family there, oh my God. You know, they come on, can we go do this? Can we go do that?
They there for a good time.
They forget. They think it's a bit vacation.
Right.
You gotta tell them, hey, man, this is a business trip for me. So you can understand why I didn't want anybody there, because I wanted to be focused on my, because I wasn't going to be the one to lose the game, not by being focused.
So, you know, I want to do this. 844-967-2789. You know, Gilbert, I thought it was important that this last show that we do for now, that we talked about you. You're a Super Bowl champion, man. You always will be a Super Bowl champion. And so for slugs like myself, and I ain't going to call Calvin a slug, and others who are listening, we just kind of want to know how that feel, man. I mean,
what is a slug? What is that?
Oh, a slug is just average, you know, John Q. Public.
Just say you're an average Joe, man.
John.
Slug.
All right. Got to take a shot. We'll be right back. 844-967-2789. You can join us under the helmet with the Grave Digger on the Earl Eagles. So is that Biggie Smalls?
No.
I don't know, man. What about, hey, man?
Ice Cube. That's Ice Cube.
Well, I thought he sounded like Ice Cube, man. What, you know, what do I know? Why are you shaking your head?
No. Nothing. You know nothing.
Welcome back. That's a nice piece, man.
I know it is. Yeah. Ice Cube.
Yeah, okay. Welcome back. To Under the Helmet.
They call that sampling, brother.
Welcome back to Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger on the Earl Ingram Show, our final show of the 2023-24 football season. So, Gilbert, I was asking you, let's go to the phone lines quickly. Steven from Green Bay. Good morning to you, Steven. You want to say what?
Good morning, Gilbert and Earl. It's sad to hear that this is your last show, but I hope you will be back next football season. With that being said, I have
You got to call in, Steven. You got to call in and let them know.
Oh, you know I'll be calling.
There you go.
With that being said, I remember my great-grandfather when I was a young little boy sitting in his living room and you weren't allowed to talk when the Packer game was on. And if you did, you get thrown out of his apartment. he has since passed, and he actually has a Packer helmet next to his gravestone. Wow. He was that big of a Packer fan. He died. He lived green and gold. Probably if you cut him, it would be green and gold blood that came out of his veins. That's how much he loved the Packers. With that being said, as a boy, my dream was to stand in Lambeau Field. Not only have I been able to do that, but actually live in the city of Green Bay, and I get to drive past Lambeau Field every single day. And when I do so, chills go down my spine because I realize how historic and big of a place that is. With you playing for the Green Bay Packers and being able to go to two Super Bowls, can you just talk a little bit about how it was not only to play in Green Bay, but how it's different than playing from any other team, how special the city is to play in, and do you come back to Green Bay every once in a while just to relive the memories?
Hey, Steven, what you trying to do, take my job? Because those are some good questions. Gilbert, thank you very much for the call, Steven. Gilbert, great.
Steven is a guy, man, that you love to play for. Because you don't just play for the coach. You play for the fans. And that's why I never left Green Bay. I had several opportunities to leave the Green Bay Packers and go play for different teams. That never crossed my mind. Green Bay is a special place. It is a nostalgic place. It is a place filled with tradition that a lot of teams don't have. And for a guy like Steve to say, when he drives down the street past the stadium and he feels energized, it's like it's a mystical person outside touching everybody that passes Lambeau Field to give you that energy and that tradition. There is no other team I would want to play for than the Green Bay Packers. When I first stepped on from that stupid place I came from and walked in that locker room, back then you can see the Paul Hornings. You can see the Bart Starrs. You can see the Jerry Kramers in the building. They touch this. They touch that. They walk down this hallway. Oh, my God. There is no other team that has that type of tradition and fan base that we have. America's team, my ass. It's in Green Bay, baby. Period.
You know, Gilbert, and what Steven said was so beautiful. You know, I guess I would ask you, man, you know, they've changed the stadium. There's a lot of stuff around. There's a lot of entertainment.
They ain't changed the stadium. The inner core of that stadium, the heart of that stadium has always been there. They build from the heart out. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
The heart is always the same. That's why Lambeau Field is so special. The heart has never changed. You may put up a new window. You may put up another brick here.
Right.
But the heart is always the same.
Let me ask you, Gilbert. Here you are. Excuse me. Let's say the Saturday before the game. What happens to you? When do you start your mind that Saturday before the game?
Saturday before the game, Sunday is the game. That's what you're saying?
Right.
So Saturday night, after that last team meeting.
You ain't clubbing.
No, this ain't basketball. This ain't basketball. You get to party and go. No. You at bed check, brother. You ain't going nowhere. So Saturday night, after that last team meeting, which was powerful for us because Fritz was laying down some knowledge, man. Fritz Shermer had us crying in there, man. Fritz Shermer, with some of the things he was saying, had us crying. So how in the hell are you going to go to sleep? You go back to your room. I had a roommate at, during Super Bowl. After a while, once I got older, I didn't have a roommate, but I had a roommate by the name of Gabe Wilkins. Got on my last nerve. You know what I'm saying? Just shut up, man, you know. But during that time, you can't sleep. It's too many scenarios going through your mind. If you can sleep like a baby, you something wrong with you. I'm going to go on and say it right now. You ain't a real human. I could not sleep. I was pacing the room. I was, what if this happened? What if that happened? I need to do this. I need to do that. You need to get that first hit out your system so your body can relax. And if it's that, if that sounds crazy, you got to hit something or you're going to be on a nervous wreck all the way to that first. That's how it was for me, man. I tell everybody, I wish everybody could see it. It's a video where, you know, they, and it was surprising me because offense is the darlings of the world, but they introduced defense for the Super Bowl. Everybody was talking about, oh, this is what we're going to do when I come out. I got my celebration when I come out. Nobody did what they said they was going to do, because as soon as you get through that gate, as soon as you get through that curtain, all them lights is flashing. Oh, it's like a rock star, man. But back in the back, me, Sean, Reggie, and Santana was in our own little huddle, which I would never disclose what we said. I was crying like a little baby. Tears running down my face. I couldn't do it.
All right. Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger on the Earl Ingram Show. Creep on in, on in.
Give me some brew and I might just chill, but I'm the type that like to light another joint like Cypress Hill. I still do be spit loogies when I puff on it. I got some bucks on it, but it ain't enough on it. Go get the S-T-I-D-E-S. Nevertheless, I'm hella fresh, rolling joints like a cigarette.
Hey Gilbert, so who is that, James Brown? Welcome back to Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger on the Earl Ingram Show. So Gilbert, so we're talking about your time at your first Super Bowl, man, and leading up to it. So now here it is, it's game time, Gilbert. You're coming out of the curtain. They're introducing the defense. Number 93 for the Green Bay Packers, Gilbert Brown. And you come through that, man. What was that feeling like, man?
Like I said, man, everybody had a what they was gonna do when they get called.
Right.
As soon as I come through that curtain and they say your name, and you see all them lights flashing.
Yeah.
Them bulbs flashing. I don't know how many people was in that stadium, but OMG. Everything I thought I was going to do, I didn't do. I was just so energized, you know, and to be able to have that feeling of walking through all them years of how I got there to that point was amazing. Was amazing. I mean, but the next to your kids being born, the greatest feeling in your life.
Man, I can look at you and tell how impactful that was. Let me ask you, did they introduce Reggie after you? So you got to sit back and Reggie is the last one. And when he comes over there to, I mean, man, your feet must be off the ground.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta say the best for last, man. You gotta say the best for last, you know. And it humbles you because you're seeing greatness come down in the greatest game at the greatest time for the greatest moment. I wouldn't change places with anybody. They say if you could step outside your body and be the prettiest man on earth, would you give it up? Hell no. Because I'm watching greatness at this moment.
So now you're in the game, right?
Thank God. Thank God. I'm ready to hit somebody.
So the hitting starts. And, you know, by the when do you start? When does it just become a football game? Or does it ever become just a football game? No,
the Super Bowl never becomes just a game.
So even during the time you're in the game,
you're excited. You
understanding the magnitude of it.
You are every play. You're excited. Every play, you're going over your adjustments. You're trying to keep it composed. You know, and once you get that lead in the game, you got to tell yourself, we're not done yet. We're not done yet. And it all becomes, everybody rallying to each other to win this game, you know? Defense is helping offense. Offense is helping defense. Both of us helping special teams. Because if you want to win, you got to win as a team, not as an individual.
So I can just envision, Gilbert. So here it is. The Packers got a lead. Reggie called all of y'all together, the defense. You wasn't calling them together. Sean Jones wasn't calling them together. Reggie was calling y'all together. The impact that his words.
No.
Okay.
No. Leroy was calling us together.
Really? Even with Reggie there?
Big Dog is on a mission. Don't mess with him.
Okay.
Don't mess with him. Because you saw at the end of the game who had to take it over.
Yeah.
For us to secure the win. Big Dog. Big Dog. Big Dog is with us, but he on a whole different mission. I ain't bothering him. When Leroy called us together, we go sit by Reggie. See what I'm saying? Leroy don't call us together and then Reggie comes to us. Reggie over there sitting on the bench. Leroy call us together. Everybody go by Reggie and sit by the bench.
Had Reggie White won a championship before then?
Never.
Oh, so okay, I see.
Never. That was his first.
So that's why he didn't want to be nobody.
No, everybody knew when we walked in to get dressed.
Don't talk to him.
It was a different Reggie White because normally he in there joking and playing around and trying to keep everybody loose. He had on like a business suit with a briefcase, and he opened that briefcase up and put his clothes on. It's time to go.
And we're talking about a man who's an ordained preacher who talks a lot, right?
Yeah.
He was silent, huh?
He wasn't silent, but he wasn't like he normally would be.
Right.
You could tell he was all about business that morning. All about business. I've never seen him in that frame before, which got me ready, which got everybody ready because they're like, hey, man, look at Reggie. It's time to go.
So Reggie, for people who don't know, big, strong cat. He was throwing offensive linemen around like they were wide receivers, wasn't he?
Oh, my God. Yeah. He was mentally setting the tone. This ain't a play trip, guys. I want this. We gotta have this type mentality. There was no way we was gonna lose that game.
So Gilbert, the seconds are ticking down. You know it. Everybody knows it. You know, before that final gun sounds, okay, and you're starting to feel with emotions. What happens, man, when that final gun sounds, Gilbert? What do you feel, man? Or you can't?
I'm gonna back it up a little bit. While we were out there playing, right?
Right.
And we talking about Reggie White, the greatest right. defense lineman to ever put his hand in the dirt. When I saw him go out there and get those two sacks back to back to secure the win, that's when I finally know we won the game. And it all, like I said before, when I watched greatness come down that tunnel, when everybody was congratulating after they called his name, to the end of those two sacks, Reggie White's the man. And that's when I knew we won the game, period. And then I didn't wake up. I was kind of like in a fog right then. I didn't wake up till I see all them ticker tape things come flying down out of the ceiling. Now that right there let me know we won a Super Bowl.
So Gilbert, when did you really grasp? Because at the moment, even at the end of the game and all that stuff, you really don't really grasp what has happened. How long did it take for you to really understand what you guys had accomplished?
Not till we got back to Green Bay. And usually a trip from the airport to Lambeau Field takes 10 minutes. From the trip from the airport to Lambeau Field took 3 hours.
Because all the people.
And here's the killer part about it, what really woke us up and we won. They put us on buses. There were no windows in the buses. You know how cold it is in Green Bay in February? Yeah. And we just came from New Orleans, so nobody had a coat on. Nobody had gloves on. Now, mind you, Mike Holmgren and Brett Favre is in the fire engine that's leading the thing.
Yeah.
Guess what they got? They got heat.
Yeah.
Us dummies in back, we ain't had nothing. So when we was riding and people was screaming, we were snatching hats and gloves. Anything we get our hand on to stay warm.
Hey, man, let me so from that day to this, because the last segment of today's show, we're gonna let you thank people for, you know, listening and those kind of things. But from that point to today, what does having played with Reggie White and winning a Super Bowl, what impact has that had on your life, even to this day?
I'm gonna put it in perspective for you, Earl. Dan Marino, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, went to the Super Bowl his rookie season. I think it was 1985. Never returned.
And he played about 17, 18 years.
And never returned. Right. So you cannot take this for granted. I had the opportunity to be a Super Bowl champion and defend my Super Bowl championship all the way to the end. I think we were great ambassadors of defending our title all the way to the end, you know? And to be a Super Bowl champion with some great players that never can call themselves Super Bowl champions, they can call themselves Hall of Famers, and which is well-deserved.
Right.
But to be a Super Bowl champion, to walk around with that ice on your finger if you want to. I don't walk my mind. I put mine up on the shelf like I'm like that ring is like Lord of the Rings, the Gollum. That's my precious. And I just like to look at it. I might wear it every once in a while or something, but
look, man, a couple months ago, I was with you, Earl Dotson, and Leroy Butler. Earl Dotson had his on.
Earl Keith.
And he pulled it off, and he let me You ain't never let me try to touch yours.
You ain't going to touch mine. Ain't nobody going to touch mine but me. Hey, I'm selfish that way. I'm sorry. Hey,
man. But I mean, that really, it's kind of like it's a pinnacle.
I'm still not used to it, Earl. That's why I don't wear it. Sometimes you ask yourself, did I deserve this? Do I really, you know? I keep that in high regards, you know?
Right.
And sometimes I see guys walking around, they wear their ring every day. I'm like, is you crazy?
Hey, you know,
Gilbert. Is that thing dirty or scuffed up? Is you crazy?
You know, Gilbert, your teammates that you wanted, I see your relationship with Leroy Butler and the admiration you have for him and that he has for you. And all of your teammates, that man, that'll be, because I saw that with Willie Davis and the admiration that he had for those teammates of his, you that'll be for the rest of your life.
Brothers for life, man. Brothers for life. You spend so much time with guys in that locker room. You do stuff with them that, you know, you don't do with your regular family. It's a sight to behold, and it's the camaraderie in that locker room, which keeps us together.
All right. Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. You know, we got one more segment, and we're going to give Gilbert a chance to, you know, Gilbert is a guy of many words.
Plenty.
But he's a very emotional guy as well. So we're going to give Gilbert a chance to tell you exactly how he feels about those of you who've taken the time out to listen to Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. And Green Bay Packers 2023-2024 football season here at Civic Media on the Earl Ingram Show.
With the lemon squeeze up and everybody's roller. I'm the roller. That's quick to fold a blunt out of a bunch of sticky doja.
All right, welcome back to what I can't believe is the last few minutes of Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger on the Earl Ingram Show for this football season. Gilbert, you wanted to, and I wanted to give you an opportunity, man, to only in the way that Gilbert Brown can say it, thank some people.
All right, Earl, my man. Well, first of all, I'm going to say good morning, Wisconsin, for the last time. Wipe the dust out your eyes. Calvin, you did a hell of a job this season.
Yeah, he really did.
Nice young man there. I was trying to help Calvin get a new girlfriend. We don't know what's going on. Me and Calvin got to hang out somewhere. Earl, you're a hell of a host, man. I really appreciate the time we had, the going from gray to dark, from dark to gray.
That's an inside joke.
But what drives this show is the fans, man. The fans are just second to none. I mean, just every Monday from last February to this February, we've been kicking it and meeting a lot. My man Rico. Oh, I love me some Rico, man, you know, and the mysterious lady that never gave her name, and all the fans, man, I just want to tell y'all something. From the bottom of my heart, there is no other team I would ever want to play for. The fans, the tradition, the nostalgia of the Green Bay Packers will always be in my heart, no matter what. Nobody can take that away from me. Nobody can take away being a Super Bowl champion. Nobody can take away being a Green Bay Packer Hall of Famer. Nobody can take away the Gravedigger digging graves on Sunday with a list of guys that I'm looking for. God bless y'all. I love y'all. And hopefully we can do this again, Big Earl.
You know, man, I love you so much. I respect you so much. And even before we even got a chance to do this, for people who don't know, you and I have had a relationship before this.
Well before this.
And man, what I've seen you do with children, to me is the most important of everything. All the things you do, it's what you do for children that has such a lasting effect on me, because you and I are the same when it comes to that. And so, you know, when you can impact the lives of a child, Gilbert, you know, money can't give you that feeling, can it? Material things can't give you that feeling.
Sure can't. The reward is that smile that they give you. That's the reward that you should be looking for. That smile from those kids that's trying to get to a place where you are or where you have been. And that is the only reward I need to be able to keep me going, to keep me doing my foundation that I do, and have a great time doing it.
You know, man, I laugh and joke with you a lot, but I respect you tremendously. I am honored, man, to say to you, you allowed me to meet your family.
Yeah.
And I know your mother.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I know you just don't open that up to anybody.
No, mama still like that old gunfighter. She still got that switch on her hip, man. Mm-hmm.
And so, man, I've had a chance to get to know you from the inside out, man. And and I'm honored, man. I had a chance to hang out with your coach, man.
Mm-hmm.
Man, your brother. And man, I never will forget those things, man. I remember early on the young man that my wife and I have been raising for 22 years. You taking mm-hmm. that young man. I got pictures of him in your arms when mm-hmm. when he's 6 years old. He's now 22. That's how long it's been.
That's a long time, Earl.
Yeah, man.
Long time for me to be hanging around with you.
Hey, man. Come on, man.
Earl, yeah, we were talking about here. You were talking about autographs and stuff like that. Oh, and yeah. I would say, Earl, somebody will pay you $3 for your autograph. Bro.
So here's how I went. So, you know, I was asking Gilbert, you know, he does autographs. I asked him, what would my autograph be worth? And what'd you say?
$3.
On a good day.
On a good day. $1.50 on the word.
Hey, man. But I got to ask you, man, who's going to win the Super Bowl?
I'm going to go with the Chiefs, man. Because I'm a Jayhawk. I'm a Kansas Jayhawk, so I got to go with the Chiefs. And Andy Reid. I love me some Andy Reid.
He's a throwback, man, right?
He's a hell of a coach, man. He's solid earth dude, and I love him to death. Andy Reid.
Hey, let's squeeze CJ in here. Hey, CJ, good morning to you, man. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. I just wanted to thank you both. It was fun to listen to you tease each other the whole season. And dang, everybody's on the love train now, but where were they in the beginning?
Choo choo!
Well,
Gilbert was on that
train.
Yeah,
baby.
I'm the conductor.
Well, oh, yeah. Well, I'll be right in the caboose because I just want to watch it play back because. This young kid and the Packers, they're humble, and they're going to come back with some fire. It's going to be a great season next year.
Hey, CJ,
and
man.
I hope to get to listen to you guys again.
So, yeah, man. It certainly,
thank you, CJ.
You know, it's not the end. Thank you very much for the call. Gilbert, man, I want to thank you, man. I love you. We're going to stay connected because you know, for whatever reason, man.
Y'all,
you know.
Earl gave me some greens. Some of the best greens I ever had in my life. I was like, you made these? No, your wife made these. You didn't make these.
See, the people still don't believe I got a few talents, right?
Yes, you do, brother. Yes, you do.
Hey, man, I love you. We'll do this again. Thank everybody who made the show go. And
Calvin, holler at you.
Yeah, thank everybody who made the show go. and I'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned yes. into the Earl Ingram Show under the helmet
Don't
with the great digger.
Big Sandy Pie either, man.
Yeah, signing off.
You're a shining star.